Hey guys, welcome to this week's Saturday podcast here on the Cyclone Fanatic Podcast Network. Of course, you could be listening old school streaming at CycloneFanatic.com. We are, of course, presented by the Iowa Pork Producers. Iowa Pork, the state fair firing up, and head on over to the pork tent, one of my favorite stops.
When we get
to the state fair, we always go and have ourselves an Iowa pork chop. And the best part about that experience, let me tell you, is when you hang out with the pork producers, there's always a cast of characters hanging out there at that pork tent. So I would encourage you to go and join them. I also want to give a shout out to our partners at Whiskey River in Ankeny. They've got the big Tyler Farr concert, and that is coming up on the 4th. Of August, and they're bringing in they're really working hard, Joe and the crew over there, to build up this Prairie Trail area. They're bringing in a bunch of opening bands from Nashville. This will be one of the best country festivals, and definitely in Des Moines, bang for your buck wise, but even, you know, around the entire Midwest. This is a great area. That's where our Cyclone Fanatic office is. And they're having that big Tyler Farr. That is not douche country. That is real country. That is August 4th. So buy your tickets now. Bring out the lawn chairs. Buy some beer from Whiskey River. It is a lot of fun. Jared Stansberry joins me today on the Iowa Pork Producers Saturday podcast.
I know my roommate is very excited about the concert at Whiskey River.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Are you going?
Yeah, I'll probably, it's the 4th, right?
Yeah. We'll have fall camp to cover, but, dude,
that's here. The weekend after my birthday, so that might have to be my celebration.
It's the culmination.
Saturday night, yeah.
Dude, football's here, though.
I know.
Like, the off season's over.
Yeah, I've been doing these countdown to kickoff things every day.
Do you like doing that?
Yeah, I have my legal pad there. I mapped out all 50 days.
Nice.
Yeah. Because every year we get to do that thing, and then we don't have like any plan. We just kind of fly by the seats of our pants. And this year I just took one afternoon. I was like, I'm gonna plan this whole thing out. And then even if I don't ride it the night before or something like that, I already know when I wake up the next morning what I'm gonna ride about. I don't have to sit there and research for 2 hours in order to find something.
Yeah.
And so now we got it all mapped out.
Tailgate Clothing too, give them a shout out. It's good to have them as a partner on Cyclone Fanatic. It's a good Iowa company that they're opening their big stores coming up in Jordan, not stores, but their Tailgate Clothing store in Jordan Creek Mall is coming up, and I think we're going to be doing some podcasts and whatnot from out there, so looking forward to that. I just got back from Dallas this week, and I think most people between Cyclone Fanatic and KXNO have read and heard my thoughts, Jared. I'm curious to talk some Big 12 football with you today. Did you have any big reactions from what you saw, read?
Can I pivot on you real quick?
Yeah.
Just for 1 second.
Absolutely.
This is something I was thinking about earlier. So for Friday, for this countdown to kickoff, it was day 43. Iowa State has made 43 appearances in the AP poll since the AP poll started in 1936. So 82 years, 43 appearances.
Okay.
How fast does Iowa State get to 50 based on the current trajectory of the program? Am I crazy to think that they could do it within 2 years?
Yeah, I think it'll be next year.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think it'll be next year because this year their schedule starts off too tough.
Yeah, I mean, I think
I don't see them starting three.
No. But I could see the climb from, 43 to 50 to 60 being considerably faster than any of the other milestones that they've had to reach in the past.
If they start 2-0 this year, they'll be getting votes.
I wouldn't be surprised at all if they were in the poll.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be shocked if they were just receiving votes in the initial poll.
No, yeah, you're probably right. They're probably going to get
at the bottom of it, but
they're probably going to get a couple votes.
Yeah.
I would guess early 2019.
Yeah, that's kind of what I would think, too.
Be my handicap on that.
Yeah.
I think they'll be ranked a few times this year.
Mm-hmm.
Three or four.
I mean, if they win the first two, they'll be right there. If they're not in the poll, they'll be pretty dang close.
Who do they have a better chance of beating, at Iowa or at home against Oklahoma?
At Iowa.
I think so, too.
But I still think they could I still think they could beat Oklahoma. I mean, I don't think.
No, yeah.
Yeah, I don't think that's like out of the question.
But like Vegas-wise, they're almost identical.
Yeah.
Because Oklahoma is a 10-point favorite at home. Clones are 7-point dogs at Iowa.
I think that it'll be interesting to see how those fluctuate over the next month and a half.
The Sharps have already bet that Iowa line's down to like 4 now.
Yeah. Because I think if Iowa State came out and and beat South Dakota State pretty easily, then I wouldn't be surprised if that gets closer and closer to a pick.
It'll close around 3 or 4, I bet.
Yeah, yeah. And if Oklahoma came out and struggles against UCLA and against whoever else they play in the first 2 weeks.
Iowa traditionally struggles in that opening game. Mm-hmm. You know that they're going to win.
Who do they play?
Northern Illinois.
Okay.
Like, I could see Iowa winning that game by 10 or 13. Yeah. You know, they have it in control the whole time, but it's not a blowout.
Right.
And that, you know.
So, yeah. See, that's what I'm saying. Like, where I think that line will close pretty. And I mean, I would think that Kinnick's probably worth 3 points on its own, you know.
Oh, absolutely. Kinnick's one of the better.
That's what I'm saying. Stadiums. So if it is at 3, then I basically think that they see it as a toss up at that point, you know.
Yeah, it is on a neutral field. Yeah.
Yeah.
What stood out to you from Dallas?
I don't know. See, the thing that's interesting is that Iowa State got a lot more attention. But at the same time, it's like there's not that much that's really interesting about them, you know. Like I look at it and I'm like, yeah, everybody else is paying way more attention to Iowa State than they have in previous seasons, and like people want to talk about David Montgomery and stuff like that. But there was nothing that any of the other teams or any of the other coaches or anything said about Iowa State that I felt like we didn't really already know, you know. Like there wasn't someone that came out and made some comment about a guy that they like really, really liked and were like, man, I hadn't really even thought of it that way. It's like you hear Cliff Kingsbury talking about David Montgomery, you hear people talking about the defensive line. We knew they were both going to be good, you know. I think it just solidified the idea in my mind that the people around this conference know what Iowa State is on the verge of doing here in the next several years.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying?
No, I totally do. What was fascinating to me is I think locally we all think Iowa State's in a really good spot.
Yeah.
And we all love Iowa State's talent. We think it's and the talent's rising. I felt like nationally the guys totally agree and they're on board with that. Mm-hmm. All the national guys are obsessed with Matt Campbell.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it was interesting here. I would have liked to know. Okay, so you did your podcast with Bruce Feldman.
Yeah.
And he talked about the flash versus the substance.
Yes.
I would be interested to just sit and talk to him and throw names out there and hear what he thinks about, are they flash versus are they substance?
I think like Fleck is flash.
Yeah. And I think that I know Tom Herman's your guy. But I think that there's some people that look at him and see a lot more flash than they see substance.
Yeah, Tom's biggest deal is he's such a great speaker.
Yeah.
That I think a lot of people just assume that that's a show.
Yeah.
He's really, I mean, if you were around him before he was a head coach, the guy hasn't really changed much.
Right. But I'd just like to throw some of the names of the young coaches out there. Jason Candle.
I think Candle's substance.
Scott Frost. I mean, people like that, you know, I'd like to hear what he thinks about them.
I do think that the younger guys are really good right now.
Yeah.
I don't think there's many bad ones out there. And I think Fleck will have some success up there. I don't think that he's going to be like an utter failure at Minnesota.
Well, I think, if nothing else, he's going to drum up a lot more support than I think that they've ever had previously.
Yeah, I mean, even like Kiffin.
Yeah.
People, it's flash, but I mean, I think he proved last year there's some substance there.
See, I think there's substance with him, but I think he's also such a jerk sometimes that it's hard for you to get past that, you know? It's like Rondo. Like, we all know that Rondo's a good basketball player.
Yeah.
But he's such a jerk that and he's not good enough to like look past like being a jerk, you know. Like I believe that Lane Kiffin's a good coach, but I think that he's also a jerk, and he's also done some stuff that is pretty questionable in his coaching career, to where it's like, okay, can you look past that stuff enough to be like, yeah, I really like Lane Kiffin, you know?
Totally. Yeah, I completely agree with that. I just think that the sport has shifted so much to like a younger man's sport.
Yeah.
I mean, I think there's a reason why Bob Stoops retired at 55. I think guys like Kirk Ferentz, who were there forever, and Bill Snyder are going to be a thing of the past. I just think the schedule's too demanding anymore.
Let's hope that Bill Snyder's a thing of the past.
Did you see what he said?
Yeah, I saw that he wants to coach his great-grandkids. It's like, aren't they like six? He's going to coach like 15 more years?
He better not.
We haven't talked about this yet. I messed up.
Okay.
Last week.
What'd you do?
You already know what I did.
What?
When I said I would get the Bill Snyder tattoo.
That was stupid.
Yeah.
You hadn't done your research on that.
No, I still stand by it. I stand by it.
No, I know that you stand by it because you have a lot of people who are going to hold you accountable to
this,
that.
The thing,
but that was a dumb thing to do. Did you realize tiebreakers and stuff like that when you made that comment?
Yeah. See, but this is my thing. I was not surprised to see Iowa State pick seventh. I'm just confident that they won't finish seventh. I think that they're good enough to be better than that.
No, I do too.
Yeah.
They were fifth in my poll.
I mean, like, I think that they are solidly and better enough than Baylor, Texas Tech, Kansas, and there's got to be one more team in there.
Here, you want a hot take?
Yeah.
I think Iowa State has the best defense in the Big 12 this year.
I wouldn't disagree. Yeah.
I think that they have the best defensive line. I think they had the best linebackers. I think they had the best cornerback duo.
Now, the safeties are going to be a question.
It comes down to safeties and linebacker depth.
Yeah.
That's what it comes down to.
See, and
the thing I like about Iowa State, though, is that they can play multiple enough.
Right.
You read my defensive line piece.
Yeah.
They can give you all sorts of looks because they have the personnel to do it. And I think at linebacker, you're going to see that too.
Mm-hmm.
Where they have – not only do
the
they
have – different too.
Yeah, but then you can bring in a Regan Northrup, you know, for a Vance. You can just move these guys around, and that's what I think is
– Right.
And I do think that you're going to see some copycatting going on, and you're going to see Cliff Kingsbury gave some great quotes on – you know, how to combat those dime defenses and whatnot. But I think Iowa State actually has the dudes to counteract that.
Yeah. Well, and the thing too, I mean, with the defensive line, a year ago, they had guys, but so many of them were unproven that when they make that shift to the three down linemen, it was almost out of necessity more than it was anything else. So, like, we've got a bunch of defensive backs that we can throw out there, but we just don't have enough defensive linemen that can go out there and be disruptive at a high level.
Mm-hmm.
Then we saw some of those guys, even in that three down front, where they were being disruptive. A guy like Jaquan Bailey, think if they're able to put four guys out there, and you've got four guys who are all capable of being disruptive.
Lima, I mean, that's what he was pushing for.
I would not be one bit surprised if Jaquan Bailey breaks a single-season sacks record this year.
No, I wouldn't either. Did you ever watch Jason Berryman play?
No.
He was a freaking maniac.
Really, all I remember of him is
the
when he passed
stuff.
Away.
Yeah. He was an absolute freak of nature.
Yeah.
And who has the single-season sacks leader? Do you have that?
Isn't it Dale Pearson? You remember him?
Yeah, I remember.
I mean, the record's like 8.5 or something like that. Jaquan needs like one more sack, and he's in the top 10 all-time in career sacks. Sean Moorhead's the all-time leader in career sacks. I know that because I think he's one of the countdown guys for this weekend, and I was getting ready to put all those together.
Give me a minute. I'm going to find
it. It's Dale Pearson. And
I remember Dale Pearson being
– because he had like four sacks in the first two games and was already halfway there. I think it's Dale Pearson, and it's either Sean Moorhead or
Berryman has to be up.
Berryman's up there
in 2005 because he absolutely wreaked havoc.
You know what? I don't have him pulled.
Hold on, I'll pull up the encyclopedia right here. Statistics, records, Cyclones.com.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm pulling it up.
But I think I would not be a bit surprised
because
to see him break that record.
He has so much help around him.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. I mean, Dale Pearson did that year with basically nobody else around him. I mean, DeMond Tucker was there. Jocelyn Thomas was there. But neither one of those guys at that point was, you know, anything too incredibly special. And I think Jaquan, too, I think they've put a little bit more of a I think they put some more pressure on him to step his game up in other areas than just on third down when it comes time to go and sack the quarterback, you know. So I think he's just I think he's going to be a guy that can make a big jump from sophomore year to junior year.
Yeah, I'm totally right there with you. And I'm having a hell of a time finding this. I can find every record right now other than sacks. I can find tackles. I can find interceptions. Willie Muldrew is the single-season tackle leader. Did you know that one?
I didn't.
Neither did I.
How many do you have?
109.
Okay.
Just pause the podcast real quick. Okay. We'll be right back, everybody. Let's listen to this message from Ames Eye Clinic. Hello, friends. We'll get you back to the Psycho and Fanatic podcast here in just a minute. This is Chris Williams, and I want to tell you guys about a great experience I recently had. Mine was up at Ames Eye Clinic. Now, the same guys, Dr. Kruger and the crew, are also down in Des Moines, so we've got a lot of options for you here. But I had lunch with Dr. Kruger, and I was telling him about some of the symptoms that I had had. I was having headaches all the time. I felt like I needed like in the back of my neck. It was weird. It was like stiff all the time. I noticed, you know, I was having problems reading up close. It was weird. Went in, had my eyes checked, and sure enough, I had some issues going on that I never even thought of. I never had to wear glasses as a kid. You get a little bit older. They hooked me up with some glasses that I use now when I'm looking at my computer screen all day working here at Cyclone Fanatic. Headaches have not completely gone away, but they've gotten a lot better. If you're like me, you probably haven't had your eyes checked in years. It had been over a decade since I had. Really glad that I went in there. Most insurance, it's going to work because they can code it that it's health. There's a lot of different things that can happen with that. I'd love for you guys to give them a shot. Ames Eye Clinic. It's up on 10th Street. If you are in Des Moines, it's over on 2600 Grand Avenue. They will hook you up. Awesome guys. They're big Cyclone fans and proud supporters of CycloneFanatic.com, and they've helped me a lot. All right, here back today to our newest installment of the Cyclone Fanatic podcast. All right, guys, welcome back. Cyclone Fanatic Saturday podcast. We are presented by Iowa Pork. We figured it out. The sacks record, you're right. Good pull. Dale Pearson at 8.5. Sean Moorhead at 8.5, so they tie it. And then it was we're pretty good with our Iowa State history. Jason Berryman is third there with 7.5. And then you have Bailey, Curvey, Hayward, Derek Clark, Dan Watkins, and Lester Williams.
See, there's some names on that list, man.
Hey, do you know this is great. Curtis Taylor, Killer K, he's number 10 there. Do you know what he's most famous for? Not only being from Fort Dodge, you know what he's most famous for?
No.
He was the Ken doll.
Seriously?
Yeah. He won
like the new Ken doll?
Yeah. He won a nationwide search to be the Ken doll. Curtis Taylor did.
Okay.
We got to get Rob on that for a while.
Yeah, there we go. Did you know that J.D. Wagner finished his career 10th all-time in program history in tackles for loss?
I did not, but that's fantastic.
Yeah. Man, that's kind of a sad stat. The all-time leader in tackles for loss. Oh, since 1976. Okay, they must not have tracked it very far back.
All right, so the question is, will Jaquan Bailey break the all-time sacks record this year?
Yeah, for a single season.
Yeah, yeah.
I think he will be the program's all-time career leader in sacks, too. He is – here, I'm right there for this one. Yeah, he is like one sack outside of the top 10. 18.5 is the record. I think he has 10.5. So he just needs 8 more to tie Sean Moorhead for the career record.
Yeah, well, he's going to get that.
Yeah.
He's going to get that. No, but I think that their D-line depth is as good as I've ever seen. Mm-hmm. I don't know if their starters are as good as that 05 line, but they didn't – that 05 team, one, they didn't have injuries, and they didn't have reinforcements.
Yeah.
They didn't have guys to bring in and out.
See, and that's the thing about this team is that I think based on situations, you can throw different guys out there and do a bunch of different things. You can throw out, you know, Jaquan on one side, Matt Leo on the other, and make those just your two dudes that it's like we're going and getting the quarterback on this play. You can.
Did you hear my interview with Leo? Did you listen to
Leo?
No, not Leo. I'm sorry.
Lima?
Lima, yeah.
No, I didn't listen to that one.
Yeah. I mean, because I was talking to him about the three-man front, and he could not quit talking about how he wanted to play with four.
Yeah.
Because for a guy like that, when you're Lima.
He's probably just like, man, I'm tired of getting double-teamed
all the
time.
He's tired of having being the guy to take up space. He wants to go and hit somebody.
Yeah.
But it was funny. And I don't know. I think that they're good enough at cornerback.
Yeah.
Well, see, all I know is this. They're much more equipped to play Iowa this year.
Than they were a year ago. See, and even then, a year ago, and this is something that Jay and I talked about on those podcasts that we did together, that for the first time since I'd been covering that game, where those guys were not immediately being pushed backwards at the snap.
Yeah.
You know, they were able to hold their own already.
Did you read in the piece that I wrote where I went through the yards per carry?
Yeah.
The yards per attempt?
Yeah.
See, in 2014, they were 125th in the country.
That thing is going to be that's going to be the closest that they've ever been on, or in quite a while at least, between the offense and defensive lines right there, of just being a complete wash, you know. And that's, I think Iowa's offensive line's still going to be pretty good. But Iowa State's pretty damn close to where they could probably win that battle.
Yeah, I haven't been crazy about Iowa's offensive line the last few years. I think they've really underachieved. So it'll be
I almost think that when they won that award for like offensive line,
it was a bunch of crap.
Not that it made them, because obviously their offensive line has been good for a long time. I mean, that's not what I'm trying to say. But this has not been some of the best offensive lines, you know, that we've ever seen.
They've been really underwhelming, I think, the last 2 years. Now, I do think that they could get better this year, but they lose James Daniels. You know, how do you respond from that? I think that is a 50-50 toss-up matchup right now, and I would actually lean Iowa State in that matchup.
I agree. Yeah.
Right now.
Yeah.
Before seeing anything. We'll see. Okay, so did anything else stand out to you about the coverage from Media Days at all? Anything pop?
I would just like to know – I'd like to know more about just from – I'm not saying name specific people that were saying things like – or anything like that, but just from talking to other people around there, talking to other Big 12 guys or hearing other Big 12 guys talking about Iowa State, what is like the general consensus from them, you think? Just from an outsider point of view.
I think that a lot of those regional Big 12 guys who have been in the league for 20, 30 years are lazy.
Yeah. And I think, too, that they...
They don't believe that Iowa State can be consistently good at football. And I think that they're... I don't want to say biased against Iowa State, but I think Iowa State has to prove to them that they're not a, you know, flash in the pan.
I think I know some people like that.
Honestly. Like I
guess I'm not gonna name any names, but
well, like I explained it to Ross earlier this week. The national guys have no dog in the fight.
Right.
They don't care.
Yeah.
And they've got specific like things that they look for and they respect. And Iowa State has a lot of that. Okay. Mm-hmm. You got a superstar running back. You have an up and coming coach that everybody's in love with. You've got a consistent quarterback. You're good up front on defense. You have two good cornerbacks. One of them's probably elite. The other one has the talent to be potentially.
Yeah.
And they don't care. National guys don't care. They just want to be right. They just want to analyze it. Regional guys have biases built in that go decades long.
Yeah.
Like they don't believe that Iowa State should be good in football.
Well, that's what I was just going to say. I mean, if it's a guy who was covering the Big Eight, you know, and was like, going on the Big Eight Skyriders tour and stuff like that.
It's my point. Like they think, like they innately think, like, well, if Kansas State and Iowa State are even or even close, like I'm going to lean Kansas State.
Yeah.
They just the way it goes. And Iowa State's got to prove those guys wrong.
Yeah.
That's what I think. I think that your local guys get what's going on here. I think the regional guys, 50-50. 50 of them are really good. 50 of them probably aren't that good.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the national guys that are really plugged in think Iowa State will overachieve compared to the poll.
A guy like Dennis Dodd isn't coming to Ames twice in a summer like to do stories on Iowa State football if people aren't legitimately taking notice of what's happening, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I think Feldman and Klatt are two of the – best.
Two of the best out there.
Yeah. And they're both incredibly high on Iowa State.
Robert Smith was even high on Iowa State.
Robert
Smith
talking
about David Montgomery.
Yeah. So I came away with higher expectations after last week, and that includes some of the it includes some of the off the record conversations and stuff that
yeah.
I had.
Was there anything that, not even just about Iowa State, but anything that you were down there hearing that kind of surprised you? That you were like, I hadn't really thought about it that way.
Like Iowa State related? Or
no, anything? Not even just Iowa State related, but, you know, whoever. Like if it's
yeah,
Tech
you know,
or Texas or whoever.
I think that it's league-wide. This is my final impression coming away looking at the Big 12. And Jay Jordan and I were talking over drinks on Monday night.
Was this before or after he diagrammed plays for you?
I don't know. But okay. That was pretty awesome. Jay was, you know, we were talking about the three-man front, and he was explaining things schematically with beers. Look at the Big 12 as a whole. What are your strengths this year? What are your weaknesses? I think a weakness is you have a ton of new quarterbacks.
Yeah.
That you got to break in.
Right.
What are your strengths? I think you've got a lot of really good running backs. Like up and down, all right. These teams have good running backs right. This year. And then you've got a lot of good offensive lines. Like there's a ton of them this year.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that you have a lot of good defenses this year. Iowa State, Texas, TCU, even a Texas Tech.
I would say Texas Tech's defense I think is going to be markedly improved.
They've got
year.
11 starters
yeah.
coming back on defense.
That
this
Dakota
year.
Allen kid's a real deal.
Matt Rhule is going to play good defense. You know, like there's a lot of like,
yeah.
I think your strengths are running the ball and defense right now. I think the league this year looks a little bit different than what we've seen in the past. And mm-hmm. I'm not saying it's going to stay that way, but I think football is cyclical in the way that the rosters are set up this year. I think you yeah. see lower scoring games in the Big 12.
I'd agree with that. I think it's just hard to maintain the offensive pace that they've set over the last 10 years.
Yes.
You know,
you have to have quarterbacks to do that.
Right.
And they don't this year. And like you look at some of the good quarterbacks coming back, Kemp, the kids at Kansas State,
Will Greer.
They're not, this is not like Baker Mayfield.
Yeah.
You know,
Greer might be in that same category.
Now, Kyler Murray, and they're still going to do that, and Greer probably will.
Yeah.
But Oklahoma State's likely going to be starting a fifth year former walk on.
Yeah.
It's not like elite talent across the board at quarterback like you're used to seeing in this league.
Yeah.
Texas isn't going to do that.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I think it's going to be interesting because I just think the games are going to be a lot different than they were here the last couple seasons. But I think the national narrative is the fact that these games are going to be different. People that are, you know, maybe skewed a little towards the SEC or the Big Ten, they're going to look at that and think
like everybody?
Yeah, but think that the Big 12 is down because of this when necessarily that might not actually be the truth.
I think it
will be down to an extent.
I do too.
But it's not.
It's a different style of down.
Yeah. Like I still think that Oklahoma could go and compete to
I think
the playoff.
I think they might make the playoff. Like
yeah.
I haven't made my playoff predictions yet, but I'm not convinced that everybody's going to go, oh, they don't have a defense. Well, they didn't have a defense last year and they made the playoff.
Yeah.
And they should have beaten Georgia, you know.
I had a Clemson fan tell me the other day that that Clemson was going to be rebuilding this year. They're the number 2 team in the country.
Yeah,
and I was like, man,
must be rough.
If rebuilding means that you're the number 2 team in the country in the preseason, I would gladly accept Iowa State rebuilding every season.
Must be rough.
Yeah.
I'm excited, man. I'm excited. Do you got anything else?
Is there anything we should know about basketball?
Not that I'm aware of. Why?
Okay. No, I was just wondering if there's anybody that you'd heard about that's like, hey, this kid, keep an eye on him. I know you said PJ Fuller. We wrote about him earlier this week.
Yeah, I wrote that little thing. Iowa State's recruiting's really weird right now.
Uh-huh.
Give it a week.
Yeah. I've had a bunch of people asking me. They're like, when's Iowa State going to get a basketball commit? And I'm like, well, they didn't get one until August last year. So
yeah, I would guess that it's going to be around the same thing.
Yeah.
They're going to get some of these kids on campus, and then you'll probably see a flurry of them.
For sure. All right, man. Yeah, I got nothing else.
All right, give it up for our friends at Iowa Pork, the Iowa Pork producers, proud supporters of the Cyclone Fanatic Saturday podcast. They will be the presenting sponsor of the Cyclone Fanatic pregame show coming up at Jack Trice Stadium in the fall. He's Jared. I'm Chris. Wishing you guys a very happy Saturday.